This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
Rabble.ca.
Wings thanks Rabble Podcast Network for carrying our programs and urges listeners to contribute to their fundraiser. Please visit rabble.ca/donate today. Today on Wings, the aftermath of the Honduras coup. Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service. President Manuel Zelaya of Honduras was a wealthy rancher and logger who started leaning left when he was in office. He increased the minimum wage to nearly $10 a day, created old age pensions, subsidized schools, liberalized civil and human rights, and applied to join ALBA, a Latin American league started by Bolivia and Venezuela. He tried to call a non-binding referendum on holding an assembly to design a new constitution, which was opposed by the Supreme Court. On June 28, 2009, Zelaya was seized by the military and exiled. The UN General Assembly, the Organization of American States, and even President Obama called it a coup and called for Zelaya's return. Large numbers of people swiftly rose in resistance. Their 1982 constitution gave them the right to insurrection if a government has taken power through armed force. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton wrote in the first edition of her memoir, Hard Choices, that she, quote, strategized on a plan to restore order in Honduras and ensure that free and fair elections could be held quickly and legitimately, which would render the question of Zelaya moot. The U.S. supported Clinton's plan. Today's Wings program was produced in Honduras 1 year after the coup. As you will hear, many people still wanted Zelaya back and decried the unfairness of the hastily called election. They speak especially about the drastic rollback of civil and human rights, which still plagues Honduras in 2016.
For Wings listeners, this is Gilda Velasquez from Tegucigalpa, Honduras. The following interview was done prior to the past elections held on November the 29th and is a translation from Spanish to English with Berto Oliva, the director of the human rights organization COFALDE, the Committee of Family Members of Disappeared Persons in Honduras. We'll be talking about the military coup and how it operates. Berta, you have spoken publicly that Honduras is under a military dictatorship. What are the indicators that you took into account in making that assessment?
En principio, lo que nosotros hacemos es monitorear la realidad de nuestro país.
What we do is monitor the situation of our country. Only in military dictatorships the people are repressed by military forces like now. The military tends to ignore the legal wills of the Constitution of Honduras, but also they tend to suppress the will of the people with bats, with guns, and with the excessive use of gases. With concern and amazement, we see that the military and the police forces are now one body. Since they are a single body, they act widely against Hondurans that are part of the national resistance fronts against the coup. When people are submitted by force, then we can only find an impoverished Honduras. This is what we are experiencing right now. Every day people will get poorer, trapped by what the military wants or says, submitted to the control of public state entities.
La población hondureña hoy entiende y está clara que aquí vivimos un golpe de Estado.
Nowadays, Hondurans are clear that we live in a coup regime. I think those are enough reasons to certify that we have a military dictatorship. But the other thing that is obviously true is that the military today have taken over a range of public institutions and also the streets. Many business actions are operated and controlled by the military of our country. When I say actions, I mean when you go out and find a place for a funeral for a relative, the owners of the funeral house are members of the armed forces. If you want to bury your relative, the owners of the cemetery are in the armed forces. If you go to a bank to ask for a loan because you do not have any money to be able to bury your relative, the owners of the bank are in the armed forces. When you research who killed your relative, it was a member of the armed forces. The armed forces have created a never-ending circle around us. We need to start denouncing and auditing the juicy profits that are left for members of the armed forces. Berta, what were the symptoms and why did the military decide that it was the right time to put a coup in place?
Yo pienso que esta chochada no del golpe militar que vivimos no fue un acto meramente planificado aquí.
I think the actors of the insane military coup are being advised by foreign people. We can all bet on that. They have been financed by outsiders or have completely emptied the coffers of the country. And we have a more difficult situation of poverty, making them believe that it can be easier for them to overcome our will. They cannot overcome our will. What they never foresaw, they never considered that Hondurans had already done their own analysis and that Hondurans were not the same people as they were 20 to 30 years ago. Hondurans are conscious right now of their rights, and now they are socially organized. It never crossed their minds that we were going to be so difficult to push. That, I think, is a failure to them. Berta, do you think that the military assistance by the U.S. 200s will escalate?
Yo creo que ya está. Por eso están tan fuertes. Si no hubiese unas personas que están dentro del gobierno de un país como Estados Unidos apoyando el golpe de Estado y esta dictadura militar, ya hubiese caído.
I think it has already escalated. That is why they are so strong. Otherwise, the military dictatorship would have already fallen. I think the very fact that the President of the Republic was taken to the military base in Palmerola, there is a large degree of complicity and complacency of the government of the United States, if not the hawks from the U.S. that are still operating in our country. For us, it is clear that the presence of the military base of Palmerola is an injury to the motherland. It is an injury to Hondurans, and why not say an insult to poverty, to the poor in this country.
That was Berta Oliva, director of the Committee of Disappeared Persons Honduras, interviewed by Gilda Velasquez in Tegucigalpa in 2009. The elections, held 3 months after the Honduras coup, were widely boycotted by both voters and candidates.
Now we'll be listening to Sylvia Ayala. She's a very dear congresswoman and belongs to the left-wing Democratic Unification Party. Sylvia and her family are under constant persecution from police and military agents. Sylvia, why did you decide to withdraw from the Congress seat race?
Bueno, esta fue una decisión sumamente difícil, sobre todo porque para las mujeres acceder a los espacios de toma de decisiones es doblemente más dificultoso.
This decision was extremely difficult to make, especially because it's very hard for women to have access to decision-making arenas. My decision to withdraw from the elections did oppose the party decision to continue with the electoral process. I made the right decision. I knew that there was going to be a fraud bigger than in the past. It was a process set up just to launder the coup d'etat, so it was a serious risk to take. Between 50 or 60 members decided not to participate.
Creemos que el pueblo hondureño se pronunció firmemente el día de las elecciones, no solamente con el abstencionismo, sino que revisando las mismas cifras infladas.
We believe the Honduran people pronounced themselves firmly on election day, not only with the lack of people voting at the polls, but also with the huge number of invalid votes and the overwhelming blank ballots. These actions gave a clear indication to the world that the people of Honduras do not support the coup. The far right did not gain the support of the people.
Sylvia, for Honduran women, your withdrawal has been a great loss. The Congress was a platform for spreading the voice of women. Which platform will you be using after you leave office?
Bueno, nosotros continuamos en primer lugar desde el ejercicio independiente de la profesión del derecho. Soy abogada.
I am a lawyer. From my office, I will voice women issues. I will also be supporting several women's organizations at a national level, training them in legal defense, labor, and human rights. I will also volunteer in the National Resistance Attorneys Front. Nothing will stop me from analyzing and denouncing the arbitrary and irregular situations that occur. Sylvia, do you consider the overthrow of President Zelaya was a presidential succession?
Para nada. Nosotros, como congresistas, como profesionales del derecho, como hondureñas, que conocemos las leyes de nuestro país, sabemos que el Congreso Nacional no tiene facultades para destituir presidente.
Definitely not. As a member of Congress and also as an attorney, I know that the Congress has no right to overthrow a president. They abuse the power that the people bestow upon them. On June 28th, a crime was committed, and yet the coup supporters still need to be held accountable for the decision-making. Congress does not have the power to overthrow a president or appoint another person to head of the executive branch. Only the people can appoint a president through a vote. Sylvia, other women in Congress voted that President Zelaya should be removed from office. Why do you think these women participated in this act?
Bueno, ahí lastimosamente, sin embargo, muchas de ellas se agacharon la cabeza y asumieron la línea de sus partidos.
Well, many of these women bowed their heads and took their party line stand. They were not interested in defending the interests of the people or women. All of the Congress women that belong to the Liberal Party were not permitted to enter the Congress session in order to oppose the criminal decisions they were undertaking. I was not permitted to enter either. We were all forced out from the Congress building. Congress had the chance to revert the coup. However, they decided to continue to support the coup regime. Hondurans already have judged their performance. Sylvia, the President Zelaya committed crime by proposing that on election days people be asked if they want a new constitution?
Para nada, mire, no existe, no está tipificado dentro de la legislación penal este delito. Nosotros creemos que la propuesta es válida.
Not at all. Under our judicial law, there is no mention that such action is a crime. We Hondurans still think it is a valid proposal. And we will continue to struggle until we have a new constitution. Many times, the Honduran constitution has been twisted around only to favor people with economic and political power. The men and women who participate in the overthrow of President Zelaya should be prosecuted. They think they can get away with it.
Que todos los asesinatos, las violaciones a nuestras compañeras, la tortura de la que ha sido víctima la población durante estos cinco meses de golpe.
All of the assassinations and violations against resistance members will not be forgotten. They will eventually pay for each one of them. We have already started proceedings International High Court at The Hague. I will work hard to see that they don't get away with these crimes. Sylvia, I have been asked by several women from around the world about your well-being. What happened to you on the following days after the coup occurred?
Bueno, nosotros hemos estado siendo víctimas sistemáticas de represión, de persecución y de hostigamiento.
I am a victim of constant persecution and harassment by the military coup regime. On the 28th of June, my partner was arrested at Central Park in San Pedro Sula. Thanks to the timely actions of our party members, we managed to get him out of jail. He was arrested just because he is my partner. My brother has been arrested twice in different parts of the country. I have been repressed in various mobilizations along with my daughter, who is 17 years old. We have been victims of tear gas. I had to undergo a major emergency surgery. When I was brought back home, two military agents with ski masks, one of them placed an automatic weapon on my six-year-old son's head. My mother is an elderly person. Military men entered her home and took with them laptops, cameras, and cell phones. On several occasions, I have been stopped and men with ski masks have taken my cell phone away. We women will continue our struggle for a fair constitution for all. We will not be stopped in any way.
Aún con estas acciones, nosotros nos mantenemos firmes porque la fortaleza nos la da la convicción de que estamos actuando.
Our strength will keep us going, and we will carry out profound changes in our country.
Lawyer and former Congresswoman Sylvia Ayala. In 2015, the International Criminal Court in The Hague declined to investigate the case of the Honduras coup. There will not be new elections in Honduras until 2017. Again, here's Gilda Velasquez from Tegucigalpa, 2009.
Coritza Diaz is one of the founding members of the Left Democratic Unification Party. A journalist and educator, Coritza is the only female in Honduras who has ever achieved the presidency of one of the largest educators' associations. Coritza, what is the role of female educators in the resistance?
En la resistencia creemos como grupo organizado, trabajadores de la educación. El sector magisterial ha sido el movimiento o grupo más fuerte.
Well, the role has been of an uttermost importance, not just by showing up as bodies in the resistance rally, but also taking part in the organizational process for activities to achieve our purposes. Coritza, why are women educators on strike?
Que una forma también de educar el alma o templar el alma del alumno también es educarlo en la participación de la lucha.
We believe that a way to educate our students is to prepare, promote, and strengthen within their souls that they must fight for their rights. Coritza, why have so many educators refused to follow the mandate coming from the coup regime that you must explain to the students that what happened in Honduras was not a coup d'etat but a presidential succession?
Bueno, el golpe de Estado son parte de las consecuencias, ¿no?, que trae un golpe de Estado militar. Divide a todos los sectores, divide a la familia, divide a la iglesia, divide a los padres.
Well, one of the consequences that result from an oppressive government is that it divides all of the sectors within a society. We cannot teach students that what has happened was a presidential succession. What has happened here in Honduras is that a military coup has occurred, in which President Zelaya was forced out of his office and country. Hondurans had previously voted for him in free elections. Coritza, what is going to be the educators' positions when the new Constituent Assembly is confirmed?
Uno de los grandes problemas del país es que nunca pasó de la democracia electoral.
One of the big problems we have had in Honduras is that we have never had a democracy in which we profoundly touch issues such as a democratic economy. We feminist educators will fight for many rights. We will fight for a just and social educational system accessible to everyone without any form of discrimination and free for all. This is our agenda as far as education is concerned. Gloria Vasquez is a volunteer attorney defending political prisoners. Her life is under constant danger. Gloria, is the Human Rights Prosecutor's Office working to protect the rights of Honduran women?
No, yo no he visto realmente. Parece la Fiscalía de Derechos Humanos está parcializada y cosa que no debería de suceder en este.
Definitely not. The Prosecutor's Office is biased. It is non-operational, a situation that should not be going on, especially under an oppressive regime. The resistance members cannot turn to this office for aid. They are defenseless. Gloria, what are your fears?
Puede ser perseguida también por los paramilitares porque si hemos...
My fears is to be constantly under persecution by military men, especially when I started defending the resistance detainees. I have had on several occasions cars following me. These cars don't have any license plates on them. They follow me to different places. It is a risk that I must take. Gloria, what is your message for Wings listeners?
Mire, realmente no tenemos medios de comunicación aquí en el país, han sido cerrados.
We Hondurans are defenseless. The judicial system is not operating adequately. It is biased. The public ministry and the human rights commissioner do not protect human rights. It is a worrisome situation. In sisterhood, thank you. And now we'll be listening to Selena, an African mosquito, transsexual, and community leader from the Mosquito Coast. Before the coup, indigenous Hondurans from the Mosquito Coast lived very much in freedom. They roamed the vast rain and cloud forests. In ritual dance, indigenous people demonstrate happiness and sadness as well. Selena, what is going on in the Mosquito Coast under the coup regime?
En la Mosquito, los gays ya libres.
In the Mosquito Coast, we were free. We were very happy people. However, presently, the gay community is very sad due to the coup d'etat regime. We are sad now. I do not go out on the streets. I cannot do it any longer under this regime. Nowadays, they are beating and assassinating us as well. They are hitting us with nails, throwing tear gas at us. The gay community is supporting the resistance. President Zelaya was supporting us as well. Before, we used to dance on the streets or in the forest. Before, we had no gay killings. Nowadays, under the coup regime, there is intolerance and gays are not wanted because we support President Zelaya and the resistance. Were you happy under President Zelaya government?
Yo fui feliz bailando. Yo le dije que único presidente era yo tengo único presidente, se llama Mel Zelaya.
Yes. He's my only president. We, the gay people, were happy, and we danced too.
This is Gilda Velasquez reporting for Wings. I'm with Lisa Sullivan, and she's a human rights advocate. Lisa, can you tell me your political point of view as an American visiting Tegucigalpa on Election Day?
We're concerned for the conditions that we've been observing throughout the country. I'm part of a delegation of about 20 different people who've been visiting several communities and cities throughout Honduras in the past 3 days, and the conditions that we've observed are not conducive to any kind of fair and free elections. There are several things which call one's attention today. The streets are quite empty of people. The polling places are quite empty of people, but there's police presence both at the polling places, on the street, threatening citizens, their safety. The military and police often are not even showing their faces. They're wearing ski masks. We've visited numerous communities where people have been raided, have been detained, have been beaten. We've visited jails where we've seen people imprisoned, hospitals where people have been wounded. So this is certainly not the condition for any kind of election to take place.
Are you concerned on women's rights right now?
Well, exactly, because much of the target of this repression has been women. Women have taken a very active role in the resistance movement. Beginning on June 28th, when this sudden coup d'etat took place, women have been in the majority on the streets in the face of repression.
Are you going to visit the U.S. Embassy today?
Yes, at 3 p.m., several of us from the United States will be gathering in front of our embassy to share what we have been witnessing in these past couple days and to share our concerns with our government, to call upon them to not recognize these elections, to not legitimize this coup d'etat by calling these elections legitimate.
This is Gilda Velasquez. I'm with Sylvia Metzler. She's a human rights advocate. Sylvia, what do you think about the political intervention of the U.S. in Honduras?
Well, I hear President Obama said that we activists want it both ways. We complain when the United States does intervene, and now we're complaining that they're not intervening. Well, this is an illegal military coup, and we should have stopped our funding, economic funding, military funding right away, taken whatever steps we had to stop it in its tracks immediately. So I'm very disappointed and very upset and angry with my government. This is threatening democracy in Honduras, threatening democracy in Latin America, and threatening democracy in the world.
Sylvia, can you tell me about your visit with Gilda Rivera, director of the Center for the Rights of Women?
That was a very profound experience. Gilda herself, very polished, very sophisticated, very articulate, and then, to our surprise, found out that she herself was disappeared and tortured many years ago. And despite that, she and the other women there are so brave. They participated in the parades, the demonstrations, banging pots and pans, being very visible, and want to see things improve for women in many ways, they said that when they talk to the male leaders of the movement and the resistance, often they're told, oh, well, don't worry about it because, you know, once we achieve our goals and we get a new constitution and we do away with classism, everything's going to be fine. You know, women will benefit from all that. But they're not having that. So, you know, no, we know that that's not necessarily the case. So while they are fighting for Honduras and against the coup and for a constitution, they have the rights of women in the foreground with everything else.
Gilda Velasquez spoke to Berto Oliva, director of the Committee of Relatives of Disappeared Persons in Honduras, again on June 22nd. She gave this update.
Aquí en Honduras se ha visto en precaria y muy en precario la situación de derechos humanos.
Berto Oliva says that Honduras is in a precarious state in regards to human rights. She worries that the international community believes that everything in Honduras is back to normal. In fact, she says, Hondurans are in a more vulnerable situation now than during the first 6 months of the coup, because now there are fewer outside witnesses to the repression. Resistance leaders and family members have been tortured and killed. We've been listening to interviews with Honduran and international human rights advocates discussing the Honduran coup that took place on June 28, 2009. To learn more, check out rightsaction.org.
That was Hanavir Camp, who co-produced Gilda Velasquez's reports on the 2009 Honduras coup for Wings. We close with Hillary Clinton giving her perspective, heard in April 2016 on Democracy Now!
The national legislature in Honduras and the national judiciary actually followed the law in removing President Zelaya. Now, I didn't like the way it looked or the way they did it, but they had a very strong argument that they had followed the Constitution and the legal precedents. And as you know, they really undercut their argument by spiriting him out of the country in his pajamas, where they sent, you know, the military to, you know, take him out of his bed and get him out of the country. So this began as a very mixed and difficult situation. If the United States government declares a coup, you immediately have to shut off all aid, including humanitarian aid, the Agency for International Development aid, the support that we were providing at that time for a lot of very poor people. And that triggers a legal necessity. There's no way to get around it. So our assessment was, we will just make the situation worse by punishing the Honduran people if we declare a coup and we immediately have to stop all aid for the people, but we should slow walk and try to stop anything that the government could take advantage of without calling it a coup. I worked very hard with leaders in the region and got Oscar Arias, the Nobel Prize winner, to take the lead on trying to broker a resolution without bloodshed. And that was very important to us, that, you know, Zelaya had friends and allies, not just in Honduras, but in some of the neighboring countries like Nicaragua, and that we could have had a terrible civil war that would have been just terrifying in its loss of life. So I think we came out with a solution that did hold new elections, but it did not in any way address the structural, systemic problems in that society.
To hear this program again, email wings@wings.org. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, editor of the anthology Women and the Gift Economy. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.